For this week, I guess we're in part four, maybe part five? All right. For this week, we're talking about prayers of thanksgiving. This is the season. And what I wanted to talk about this morning was giving thanks for when things are normal, like the everyday. I wanted to talk about giving thanks when things are fantastic, and then talk about giving thanks when things are really difficult. There's a Bible passage that Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it's, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. In everything give thanks." And that's a very big statement. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." That's quite a challenge, I think. And so I want to talk about that this morning. Thanks in the everyday, thanks when things are fantastic, thanks when things are difficult. So heading towards this idea of when it's just the everyday, I have a tendency to, I wake up in the morning and I feel like my day is starting in neutral in a lot of ways. It feels like it's kind of a blank slate. Depends on what happens to me that day. If it's fantastic things happen, man, it's going to be a great day, or it was a great day. You know, if really difficult things and hard things happen, well, it ended up being like the no good rotten day or whatever, like the movie that's out right now. Alexander having that kind of day. And so I heard someone teach on this that was a fantastic taking a step back and reshaping how I felt about this. So I wake up, and I'm getting out of bed, and I take a deep breath, and I'm all right. I can breathe deeply. I'm okay. I get out of bed, and you know, I can stand up. I have my health. I'm able to walk to the bathroom, and so there's this gift of like, man, I've got my health this morning. Not only that, I woke up and I was in a bed and I wasn't freezing cold, because my house has central heating and we don't freeze during the winter. And so I woke up and I'm in this bed and I have central heating and I have this shelter that keeps snow and rain off of me, and I'm able to know that that's happening for my kids. And I go into the restroom and there's running clean water, which a lot of the world actually doesn't have, clean water. I know that my food is downstairs in pantries, and the things that could spoil, they're not spoiling because I have a refrigerator. Immediately, I wake up, and I've got all of these basic needs and these blessings of kind of beyond basic needs going on. Not only that, but I wake up, and I see my wife, and it's this person that I love, and I've made this commitment to, and I hug her, and then I see my kids, and I just know that we have this wonderful family, and I'm so thankful for the responsibility of having that. And I think to myself, man, that's a lot of work, and that's so much joy at the same time. And how many know what I'm talking about there? Yeah. And so we go downstairs and we're around the table and we're eating together. And then I know that I have friends and family, that if anything happened here to this thing that I've been blessed with, if I all of a sudden lost a job and I was losing some of these basic needs, I have people that I can rely on and call. And in a moment's notice, I could move in with them and they wouldn't hate me for it. I have people that would accept me, family that cares about me. I can run ideas by them. I have a job that I love, that I find purpose in. My wife has work, that she does art and she works with kids and she pours herself out, and she finds meaning and purpose as well that pays the bills and keeps all these basic needs things going. We have this feeling that we are a part and called into this kingdom of God, into a larger picture, and that all of this, our family, our friends, our needs, our shelters, and our purpose, that we're a part of something larger. We know that there's a God who has come to us and saved us through his son, Jesus Christ, and sent the Holy Spirit to continue this work of new life. New life. My day doesn't start in neutral. Can I get an amen? Amen. My day does not start in neutral. Your day is not a blank slate when you wake up. When we wake up, there is a flood of blessings that accompany just waking up and breathing and having our health, having shelter, having basic needs, having family and friends, having purpose. Our days wake up and we are so blessed. And it's just the everyday common thing. It's a really simple, old-fashioned prayer. It's called counting your blessings. counting your blessings. There have been moments of this last month, I'll be honest, I've gotten very little sleep because I have a 5-week-old at home. And then our kids have been sick as well. And so there's been moments where it's really hard. I was going to make this joke, by the way. I just read that when you get 2 weeks of only 4 to 6 hours of sleep, your blood alcohol level, or it's like having an equivalent of a 0.01 blood alcohol level. And it's like if I say anything crazy today, like, hey, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the grace you all are going to give me. Because I've had very little sleep. I've had these moments of holding my newborn and looking at my kids playing and seeing my wife doing some artwork, and perhaps I'm sending off an email for something to Dale about Wildflower, and I get choked up because I realize just the flood of blessings that I have in my life. And I take this moment, and I find myself this last month, I'll be driving in the car, and when it comes to thinking about prayer or approaching God in prayer, I count my blessings. I begin with just thinking through these things that God has blessed me in. And it's so meaningful. So when things are on the everyday, we count our blessings. It's a prayer of thanksgiving that can shape us and change our hearts. Now, talk about prayer when things are great, when things are good. Oh, come on, this is Scrooge McDuck. Some laughter, like, this is just great. I saw this picture, I was like, yes! This is a lifelong dream and goal of mine, is to be able to just swim in money in my backyard. I'm gonna have to quit church work. But yeah, when things are fantastic. My wife, I was telling her about the things I was gonna be presenting today, and she said, you know, I can give thanks in the everyday, and when I actually find myself praying more when things are hard, but it's the prayers when things are great that I actually have a hard time with, that I actually have a hard time engaging and remembering. Before we talk about prayers when things are Thanksgiving, when things are great, I want to look at memes. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a meme? Raise your hand if you know what I mean, okay? So all the younger folks are kind of raising their hands, and so I'm gonna educate all of us who are in an older generation. So a meme, it means an imitated thing. It's an imitated thing, but what it means online is you have this funny picture, and then all these jokes are generated. This only happens because of the internet. It's because of the internet this happens. You have all these jokes that are delivered in a style of this picture. And so you have this scene of is it Boromir is the character here? And he says, one does not simply walk into Mordor. You know, it's this really heavy scene. And people took this picture and just started doing a ton of jokes with it. One does not simply check Pinterest real quick. There's another meme called Success Kid. Have any of you seen this picture around? Okay, so Success Kid, it's just someone uploaded a photo on the internet and they started generating these jokes. And so like they all have the kind of the same punchline. Boss walks by when I'm actually working. Walked into a room, remembered why. Hit a speed bump. Check engine light finally went away. I've had that happen, and I'm just like, praise the Lord. All right, found a birthday card from 2 years ago, had $50 in it. I've never had that happen, but fantastic. So I was talking with, this is Matt Wiesner back here. He's playing piano with us today. And I was talking with him, and I said, hey, I want you to join with me for December 20th. We're having a special Wildflower Christmas. And I want to know if you would co-produce the music with me. You and I would choose and everything. And he sent me back an email. And it was just a picture of Success Kid. And he just said, I'm in. It was just like, yeah. And I was like, thank you. Thank you, Matt. Awesome. And so there's another meme online that I see it and I laugh. And that's also used as a hashtag I've seen. And it's called First World Problems. All right, how many of you kind of know what I'm talking about? So it has this picture of a very beautiful woman. She's manicured, but she's crying. And it has these little jokes that kind of sting a little bit. And like it's like, I hate my government, but I live too comfortably to get motivated enough to do anything about it. Ah, first world problems, you know, tears. And then one pillow is too low. Two pillows is too high. Oh, the things that just ruin our day. Saw a friend on the bus. now I can't listen to my music. I'm a musician and I've had this happen because sometimes I like music better than people. And at least just some moments, you know? You know, there's these moments of like, oh, now I got to talk to this person. I see them at the coffee shop and now we got to talk. And so I never got to see my friends this summer because I was always on vacation. I think I heard someone at Wildflower say something like this to me. I really missed Wildflower because I was somewhere better all summer. I dropped my MacBook on my other MacBook. Tears, first world problems. I actually did have that happen where I had like my iPhone and I dropped it and it like chipped on my MacBook. And like it totally upset me for like an hour. And then I realized, wow, that's a first world problem. That's absolutely not something. Now, these are all these jokes that are getting at something. And it's when we have this tremendous blessing poured out on us, and we could go the route of counting our blessings and just realizing just how blessed we are and what kind of how the gratitude should be welling up within us. There's another route that you can go. And I find it very natural that sometimes it's natural I go this route. Sometimes I go the other route, and I have to be honest. And I call this something that I made up. I made this up. You can't Google this and get any like kind of studies on it. Entitlement sickness. All right, am I preaching? Yeah, I am a little bit. I start to live my life in reaction to the great blessings around me. And I start sounding a little bit like a first world problems meme. Here's some symptoms that I think about when I think about entitlement sickness. It's you get these blessings, these wonderful things, and then you take all the credit for it. I had a friend who was sitting down with someone whose business had taken off really well and had this great thing happen with his business. My friend sat down and said, hey, you know, you've been a part of this church for a long time. We're thinking about doing this new project. I think that you would love to get involved and perhaps put money towards this. I know that God has really blessed you here. And he stopped my friend and said, well, yes, God's blessed me, but I've worked real hard. I've worked really hard. Totally. You have. Like you have worked, I'm sure that you have worked nights and days and weekends and poured so much into this. Totally. But that's not the whole truth of the blessing. You were born in a time in history where the economics favored the kind of things that were in your DNA that you were blessed with, that you're able to turn those kind of gifts into money because we need that at this time and space right now. And no other time and place in history and no other nation could this have happened. You're born to a certain family that had certain privileges that gave you certain opportunities to go to certain schools to make friends with certain people, to have certain textbooks. That it's a blessing that you are able to be in this place. I see someone clapping. Yeah. It's a blessing that you are able to be in this place and taking all the credit. It's not good for our hearts, and it's just not true. I'm preaching. Okay. Seeing yourself above others, demanding of service. I see entitlement sickness symptoms within this. I remember, I'm going to just talk about myself and use myself as a nasty example because I don't want to use anybody else. That'd be rude. I was in line in Office Max, and I was having a bad day. And I was working with this guy and he was messing things up. I had to get somewhere, and things when you have entitlement sickness, things start to percolate in your mind like, you know, I'm important. I need to get somewhere, right? My time matters. This guy's totally inept. You know, I think words like that come to my mind. Oh, he's so incapable. You know, things like that come to my mind when I'm feeling this entitlement sickness, demanding of service. You know, I want to get online and tweet, this place was terrible and treated me bad. Like, am I preaching? And so I'm in line with him, and I'm thinking about, like, my day and how bad, like, I'm feeling. And I'm like, well, how's your day going, bro? You know, like, and I'm being a jerk. And he stops, and he says, I'm having the hardest day. He goes, my wisdom teeth are coming in. And so I have a fever and a migraine. And so I feel really sick, but I had to cover for a friend of mine who's sick today. So man, I just can hardly even stand. And I'm like, all right. All right. Goodness, what a jerk I was. What entitlement sickness I had. I actually had the same thing happen to me when my wisdom teeth came in. I got a fever and got sick, and so we talked about it. And it's just like, I'm really sorry. There is an answer to entitlement sickness, and it looks like a prayer of thanksgiving. It's very, very simple. And it just goes like this. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. We find ourselves in these places of great blessing and things are just so wonderful and money is coming in and this relationship is cooking and our kids, they are minding us and listening to us. And you know, we just need to take a step back and say, thank you, God. It's all a gift. It's all just a blessing after a blessing. The fact that I can be in this place to be able to make this kind of income, the fact that I can have met this person because I was in these places, my kids, they share this DNA and like they're going through a season where they're just being great. It's all a gift. When we recognize that it's all a gift, we actually go from this tight-fisted, well, I worked real hard, to this generous feeling of if it's all a gift, how can I bless others? Right? That like I find this when I head towards prayers of thanksgiving, I'm like, how can I actually pour out to others? I feel so blessed. We work from this place of being self-important, of I'm an important person, more to a place of understanding, of listening to someone else and say, you know what, it's a gift I'm able to be at Office Max as much as I dislike being here. Like, this is a gift that I'm able to be here to interact and like just listen to this human being. We move from this place of I worked hard to God has blessed me. Can we be this type of church? Yes. Can I get an amen? I've been in churches, and this is the way it is in the Western world a little bit. But we have tremendous blessings when it comes to our basic needs. We are more wealthy in the United States than I think 92% of the world. Any other country. Yeah, if you have two cars, you're in the top 2% of wealth in the United States. Or sorry, in the world. And so it's perspective, isn't it? It's all a gift. I want to be a church where we are generous. We don't have that sense of like entitlement. That would be fantastic. I'm working on it, and I think a way to approach it is by going in this direction of a prayer of thanksgiving. It's all a gift. Prayers in the common everyday, prayers when things are going wonderfully, and finally prayers when things are really difficult. And I won't spend too much time here. Have any of you ever heard of the book The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom? Yeah, a few folks have read it. It's the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were from the Netherlands, and during the time of World War II, during Hitler's regime, they hid Jewish families. The hiding place, they would help people escape to other countries where they weren't being persecuted, and they got caught for it and put in a concentration camp. They got put in Ravensbrück concentration camp. Betsy ended up passing away in 1944 in the concentration camp. Corrie Ten Boom survived and tells her story. While they were in the concentration camp, they would together say, we're going to hold on to our faith. We're going to pray. We're even going to pray prayers of thanks, giving thanks in everything, for that is God's will for us in Jesus Christ. And so one night, one of them was talking to the other, and they were like giving prayers of thanks. We're thankful for food. We're thankful we have a place to sleep. And one of them said to the other, said, I'm not thankful for these fleas. Their barracks had a flea infestation. And they were itchy all the time, and they were miserable, and said, I'm not thankful for these fleas. Corrie Ten Boom writes, years later, we found out what was going on in other concentration camps weren't happening in ours. Guards weren't coming in and harassing and raping us because they didn't want to be around the fleas. I think prayers of thanksgiving when it comes to the difficult times, when we get some distance from it, we're able to look and say, you know, there's a wealth of things here that I'm thankful for. Sometimes they're extreme. Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize God was working in that way in my misery and provided me dignity. Like, it can work in huge ways. It can work in ways of like, you know, if I hadn't lost that job or gone through that horrible transition, if I hadn't that relationship that meant so much to me, if we hadn't, you know, it broke up, it fell apart, this happened. But now when I get distance from it, there's actually great prayers of thanksgiving that come out of it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I usually tell folks, you need the distance for that to work. I actually think it's a little unhealthy to in the moment have someone come and be like, you got to give thanks in everything. No, I'll slap someone in the face if they you know, in the midst of tragedy. But it's a rear view mirror prayer. It's a prayer that once you get some distance and you say, you know, I see God's hands all over that situation. I'm so thankful. Give thanks in everything, for that is God's will in Jesus Christ. This week my family and I, we went out and we gathered branches, and this is my daughter Lucy, and we've put together this altar of thanksgiving back here. And so what I would love for us to do today for our time of worship, I'm going to walk around, sorry if there's a little bit of feedback. What I'd love for us to do within our time of worship, as you come to the communion table, there's little leaves that are here. And if you would write something that you're thankful for upon the leaf, and then you can hang it on the tree with a clothespin, and we'll watch this tree go from barren to flourishing with our thanks. You can write down first thing that you think of. You can make a list and write it all over. You can take your time. The other thing that I would love to challenge you with, my family and I are doing this activity for the entire month of November, considering it's this month where we actually take a step back and say, what are we thankful for? How can we have these hearts of gratitude? And so at the dinner table, we've also got a smaller altar, and it's going to be there and remain there for November. And when we have dinner, we're going to take time and write and give thanks. I'm going to post directions on how to put it all together and some promptings on the Wildflower Facebook page this week.